Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So don't ever do that again.
Yeah, next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, Gerardo said just pull the Bill Clinton card. I did not have sex with that woman.
Yeah, that's all you had to do. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, all you poppy, I'm ready. I can play the old Michael Jackson. This is Sammy Sosa.
Somebody suggested on the text line. Hey, good idea, E. Joaquin Phoenix could play the adult Michael Jackson.
That's true.
You might be able to pull that off. Joaquin's a good actor.
I'd have to see that, though.
Also said the director, Antoine Fuqua, worked with Denzel a lot. Yeah, he's the one that did Training Day.
Yes.
Won an Academy Award for that. Yeah, that's Lionsgate. That's Antoine Fuqua. That's no joke. That's not the Lion King. Quality of production. That's the real deal. All right, we'll come back. Also, the guy that did Bohemian Rhapsody. That was a great movie. We'll get all of it going. It's cranking up on the 9 o'clock hour with Buck Ons and Buck Offs. Also, we're going to check in with our friend Mac Engel from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He'll help preview the Cowboys game. Also, he's got a column today about the TCU Horned Frogs hiring Kendall Briles to be the offensive coordinator to replace Garrett Riley. Get his thoughts on good idea or bad for the Horned Frogs. It's B&E on the Horn.
Chad and Zay.
Okay, somebody on the Specs text line just made a great point. Other than magic, Ahmad Rashad giving that interview.
Does Isaiah trust him, though? I know Michael does.
You remember Isaiah Thomas working with NBC during those days?
Oh, he did. You're right.
If Ahmad brings Claire Huxtable, then how could you not be? How could you be upset?
Actually, we should just let Felicia Rashad do it. Can she do the interview?
Oh, yeah. She still looks good.
She'll get all the truth out of him.
Yeah.
She will figure it out.
Weekdays 12 to 3 on the Horn.
On the eastbound side of Highway 29, right near Cimarron Hills Golf Club, we do have a crash and a backup toward Palmer, or if you will, Ronald Reagan Boulevard there. So, again, that's going to be our biggest delay because of a crash, because southbound I-35 in Georgetown, the earlier wreck is done completely, and so things are looking okay. We do have those delays, though, of course, as we head into the 9 o'clock hour in the usual spots. Slow to clear these days because of the volume, but not too much in the way of crashes, at least on the freeways at this point. Now, over on Thermal Drive at Howard Lane, we do have a wreck reported there. Tuscany Way, this is going to be near 290. Another one reported. Manchac at Slaughter, we've got a crash there too. Ross Road, just off to the east of Toll 130. So, yeah, it sounds like there's a lot going on, but none of those are on the main lanes. I'm Don Miller, and that's your traffic.
People who like more money like Henna Chevrolet.
I needed to sell my second vehicle in a hurry. So after getting it appraised at CarMax, my buddy told me I could get $500 more at Henna. Sounded too good to be true, but I'd be lying if I said it wasn't the easiest $500 I ever made.
Just present your written appraisal offer within 7 days and you'll get $500 more guaranteed. Come get your money at HennaChevyAustin.com. Henna Chevrolet, we'll always stand by you. Find new roads.
And now here's Bucky Godbolt telling you how you can live pain-free with Relax the Back.
Hey folks, it's Bucky. With my jacked up back, getting the right support has always been difficult. Honestly, I looked everywhere, but nothing gave me the comfort for my back that I needed. And then I found Relax the Back, finally a way to help me live pain-free. Relax the Back embraces the holistic approach for the healthier lifestyle, based in 35 years of proven expertise with the motto, Live Wellness. Relax the Back can help transform your routine and your life. Right now, get $800 off select zero-gravity recliners, up to $400 off select office chairs. Plus, look for special clearance items this month. Like me, live pain-free with Relax the Back. In Bee Cave, at the Hill Country Galleria across from Whole Foods, and in Austin Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Relax the Back can help transform your routine and your life. Live pain-free. Relax the Back.
Winter is here, and Specs brings the cheer with the largest selection of low-priced perfection. From spirits and wines to beers and good times, pair ciders with fires and jackets with gin. A good warming whiskey will keep you tucked in. And you won't have to shiver, because Specs will deliver. So raise up your mitten and give a good cheer, because when you shop at Specs, the fun starts here.
Craig Way for my friend John Hardy and the great people at Divided Sky Roofing and Solar, the ones we trust for roofing. And now they're installing backup batteries and Generac generators. Rain and winter storms can damage your roof and knock out your power, and Divided Sky can help you be prepared for any short or long-term power outages by installing a backup battery or a Generac generator. Backup batteries come with a 30% federal tax credit. Give John and his staff a call today at 512-995-ROOF or check them out on the web at DividedSkyAustin.com.
From the UBO Business Services Studios, you're listening to KTXX FM and HD1 BK, KTAE AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros now delivers and offers curbside pickup. For info on placing your lunch or dinner order, visit vaqueroscafe.com. Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Almost Friday. We call it Thursday. Buck off Thursday on B&E. Friday will be tomorrow. We've got one more hour of this program, and looking forward to the conversation. Bottom of the hour, Mac Engel. Always opinionated and good stuff. He's with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Has been a long time. He will give us his thoughts on the Cowboys. And what looks to, at least on paper, has a classic kind of game feel to it. Heavyweight matchup. Cowboys played great Monday night. Niners played great in the second half of their game with the Seahawks. They've won 11 in a row. We'll get his thoughts on the Cowboys. Is this their time to take a step towards the NFC Championship game? We will talk to Mac. Also, Mac has a story this morning about TCU making it official and hiring Kendall Briles to be the offensive coordinator. A lot of folks have been giving that program a buck off for hiring anybody named Briles in the wake of the Baylor scandal. But as we've talked about, now, this isn't his first job since what happened at Baylor, and everybody was let go. He was at Houston with Major Applewhite, Arkansas. He was at Ole Miss at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's coming to TCU to replace Garrett Riley. Some there at the Texas Christian University, not big fans. And remember, TCU, as a rival of Baylor, that was a big deal within the Big 12, right? That whole thing.
Well, Gary,
it was a big deal for everybody. I'm not saying, yes. I'm not minimizing it at all. But, you know, with Gary Patterson and the programs and there were those that wanted the bid. They wanted Baylor out of the Big 12. We talked about that. We were Big 12 media days. Is there a chance they could try to vote this team out of the conference for the misdoings there, the horrible handling of those situations? And you know, obviously, now he's back in the conference at TCU. So we'll talk to Mac about that. He always has strong opinions on things, and it sounds like from his column he's in support of it. Thinks it's okay. But we'll let him, in his own words, explain that. But, Buck, we got that. We got the Longhorns chasing A.D. Mitchell, apparently. He's into the transfer portal. Big-time wide receiver, 6'4", 190, Georgia, his previous school. He entered the portal yesterday. Yesterday, apparently, Buck, was the last day to enter. Window closed. Because school's starting up everywhere. And if you're going to enroll at school, because you still got to play school.
Got to play school. You have to do that.
But you had to have entered the portal by yesterday. But A.D. Mitchell is in it. Kid from Missouri City originally, but then his family moved to Nashville when he was in high school, and that's where he finished high school, but ended up at Georgia.
Got a son here?
Yeah, that's the word. And again, several people have reported that. He's got a young son living in Dallas and with the mom.
Wants to be close.
And maybe wants to get back to the state of Texas. And I also saw somebody link them to – remember yesterday we were talking to Jerry Hamilton, and he was talking about Chris Jackson, the receivers coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who apparently the Longhorns have made the number one prospect to be their new wide receivers coach here. That he's got a connection to a trainer in the Dallas area, the DFW, who
he's a wide receiver guy.
He's a wide receiver trainer. Isaiah Nayor and a bunch of top receivers have trained with him in the Metroplex, and that he also has a real good relationship with A.D. Mitchell, and so maybe there's a lot of connection here. I don't know. You know how these things happen behind the scenes, but Longhorns and USC apparently in the mix for that. So we're talking about it. As well as Big 12 basketball, West Virginia, the Longhorns' next opponent, got the big win last night. They beat TCU, speaking of the Horned Frogs. So is that a good thing for the Longhorns? Does not matter that you're going in, whether they're 0-6 or 1-5. That's what you're facing Saturday at 5 o'clock at Morgantown. It's a Bob Huggins team.
Yeah, Bob Huggins felt that his team was starting to get there, but they had lost two other games since he said that, but now they got the win against TCU. I mean, what's the difference? They don't get to cancel the game. They got to go up and just do the things that they had to take care of themselves here.
I mean, we say it over and over, so it's a broken record, but this conference is ridiculous. I mean, when you can have TCU start out the conference undefeated and then lose 3 of 4, lose to Texas when they were up 18, lose to Iowa State in a game that they gave up a 3 late, and then they turn around, they beat K-State, and they beat them pretty handily, too, by the way, on Saturday, the Wildcats. K-State turns around, beats Kansas, and then Texas, and then TCU turns around and loses to West Virginia. From top to bottom.
It's just the conference. You just got to go. I mean, you're going to play games away. You're going to play a game at home.
It's almost like the NFL. There is no easy game unless you're playing Tampa Bay on Monday night. Oh, I say that?
Ty, did we just say that, Ty?
Yeah.
Ouch. That seemed easy.
You're not even trying to bring me up, are you? You're not even trying.
Think
I've given up?
If you're not with me, I don't need you up here.
Oh, see that?
Yeah, Ty's like, if you're not with me, you're against me.
I mean, for a week, I was there, and I was there early in the week.
You had to get me going last week.
Yeah, you did.
But now you're there, and you're not. You're totally cool there.
I'm chilling.
I'm not feeling it.
You're feeling an 8-point Niners win.
Yeah, I'm feeling Dak Prescott double pumping, double clutching thing. He's playing against Tampa Bay and that defensive line. And if Dak Prescott's decided he's going to make some decisions on when he's going to leave the pocket and go and run with it, but the double pumping and waiting for guys to clear around zones. There's not going to be time for that. There's no time, especially with this offensive line that's hurting right now.
Let's be honest. When you can confuse and cloud it up for Dak,
yes,
he struggles.
And that's clouded. Double pumps are clouds.
But I didn't see many clouds against Tampa. I didn't. His first read was
almost always open. But he also had the time to do it. He had some time.
That's right. And now they're going to be a better pass rush. Look, I mean, there's no question. The Cowboys, it'll be tougher than it was against the Bucs. That game should have been, the kicker making kicks is 35-6 at one point. That was not a close football game. Yes, that was about the Cowboys playing a clean and sharp game, but that was also, let's be clear, a Bucs team that the fact that reports were firing Byron Leftwich by the next day, that looked like a team that was ready for the season to be over. They were not poised to make a run. Much as Tom Brady may have wanted to, the rest of the team, that's what they've been all year, just a bad team.
That's exactly, you're right there. That's the way they've looked all year long.
And, Todd, as far as, like, disguising coverages and calling great defense, nobody's better than Todd Bowles, but it even feels like Todd Bowles got distracted by what was going on offense. He wasn't as focused on the defense this year as a head coach, and that they missed Bruce Arians. Again, this is not an excuse or taking anything away from the Cowboys. I'm just saying that was a really lame Tampa Bay performance, and that's obviously not going to be the case. But you could say the same for the Niners, right? They're taking a big step up in class. The 9-8 Seahawks, Geno Smith. I mean, Cowboys much better than that as a 12-5 football team. So that's what this has the makings of a classic. And, I would favor the Niners in that they're at home, in that they have two extra days rest and preparation time, and in that they're playing on grass, on their turf, which they like.
If there's any group that they can get after, it is a young quarterback.
That's right.
If they can get it done. Dan Quinn, if he can confuse this
Cowboys
young quarterback.
If anybody's going to derail, because we told you now, according to Vegas, the Niners have now surpassed the Eagles as the odds favorite to get to the Super Bowl. And so, Vegas isn't dumb. They're seeing what we're seeing with the Niners. They don't have many holes, and Brock Purdy is, just answering every question and checking every box. But obviously, if you're a Cowboys fan, you like the pieces you have on defense. You love Dan Quinn to be able to confuse a young quarterback and try to cloud some things for him. But again, Kyle Shanahan makes it so simple for him, right? He can push the ball down the field, but that's only when he knows he's getting man coverage and they've set up the screen game and they've set up the misdirection.
Yeah, what you call handoffs. Maybe a couple 7-yard runs for them end up being 60-yard runs. The basic that people would say, that's a nice play. That got us some good yardage. They make touchdowns out of those.
Here's what I'll say for the Cowboys side of this, because you like the Niners. I'm leaning Niners. In the 11-game winning streak, the Cowboys are the best team they've played.
Yes, no doubt.
Of those 11 games. And the last time they lost, the Chiefs beat them. And the Chiefs beat them bad. Now, the Niners would tell you they were banged up in that day, and that's when they really shifted and got some guys healthy, traded for Christian McCaffrey, and have become the team that they are. But this is the Cowboys are the best opponent they've played in this 11-game run for them.
They're the best when they're playing the best.
Right. because the Cowboys can also look like they did against the Niners. They're at the Washington Commanders, and
yes.
I don't think we're getting that. I think we're getting a hell of a game. I think we're much like last year's game where the Cowboys were dominated for the first half but turned it on in the second and nearly came back and won that 23-17. But I'll say it again. Cowboys aren't winning with 17 points.
No.
They will not win this game with 17 points. I think anybody would agree with that. They're going to need – and that's what in this 11-game win streak the Niners are on – in that 11 games, they're scoring more points than anybody in the league, and they're allowing fewer points than anybody in the league, and that's hard to beat. That's the challenge. And listening yesterday, as I do every day, to Rod Babers talk about the behind the scenes with the Niners and his buddy Kyle Shanahan, they're so talented, but they're also so well coached, Buck. I mean Shanahan is just a different level of offensive coordinator. You know, using your tendencies against you with these misdirection plays and kind of predicting where you're going to be and going the other direction. And now D'Amico Ryans does the same thing on defense with a very talented unit. And D'Amico, as a Houston Texans fan as I am, one of the smartest players you'll ever see. And he's now brought that to the defensive side. So that's what you have to be.
They just have so many guys. They have so many weapons on offense. I mean, they got three receivers and a running back and a tight end. And a tight end to me is like whether you want to make him a tight end or another wide receiver or another great running back. Their weapons are –
They're elite. And
they've got a young guy who's pulling the trigger right now that's very confident in what he's told to do.
And so the Cowboys have to have their elite players play elite. That's how the Cowboys can win. Dak hasn't looked like he did last week. I think it'll be a much tougher slog for him. Tony Pollard has to play like an elite running back.
And they've got one elite player in the secondary. They don't have like two.
CeeDee Lamb has to be, Jayron Kearse to me has plays to a really high level. Donovan Wilson has played. But the corners, yes. You know this is what Kyle Shanahan is looking at.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Shanahan is looking at who that corner is opposite. And you know this with Kyle Shanahan. He's going to play that Trayvon Diggs tendency to try to jump routes against him. He's going to try to get a big one when Trayvon tries to come up and take a pick. That'll be a pump fake. And this is where pass rush – this is just a great game. It's a great matchup. Because I think to what we said about Rod and how well-coached they are, at the Cowboys' best, they're well-coached too.
They were.
Kellen Moore was really good.
Last week's game by Kellen Moore was fantastic.
Dan Quinn's tremendous. I mean, this is a – but it's a player's game. So in the end, the coaches will give them even. Well, that means CeeDee Lamb has to play elite football in this game.
I think we thought we'd see more from Tampa Bay
they didn't see anything from them.
They showed us what they showed us the entire year. This wasn't about Tom Brady trying to win another Super Bowl. That wasn't going to happen. They weren't going to be good enough, whether they beat the Cowboys or not. They weren't going anywhere.
And not only have they not been good this year, they played a bad game. They just looked. The intensity they played with in that game was that of a regular season ball game. Cowboys obviously took their intensity to a whole new level, and that's why it wasn't even a close game. It wasn't even competitive.
We had a new level, Ty. We had another level this week.
Oh yeah,
You're not believing that. You know what? That's a faint effort by you. You're not really quite there yet.
He's tired.
He's just tired. That's okay.
He had to have six snoozes today.
That's true.
I'm ready.
Do you hear that?
By the way, are you rolling over that 10-unit play and just doubling down?
I might do a 20-unit play.
That would be doubling down.
Wow.
That would be going for both.
I know the audience. I know the people are hearing him the way he's saying that. Oh, I'm ready. Okay.
Well, I look forward to this game like more than any of them. I'm glad it's the last
one. You sounded like the Longhorns that didn't do anything in that basketball game when a guy got undercut and laid on his back.
Somebody should have fought somebody.
Yeah, that should have been a riot.
I said on Light the Tower yesterday, I think Rodney Terry, that's one of the acceptable moments to get onto the floor and get a tech.
Yeah, get a tech.
Oh, no.
Cause a ruckus.
Definitely there should have been a ruckus. That's one of those where, as a coach, you throw a tantrum. You know what I mean?
Well, let's hope he threw a tantrum into his team because he could have done more in real time with the undercut that wasn't called. But, again, not only did he get undercut, he got stared at after he got undercut.
And then the guy
went back down, hit a three, and did the throat slash.
What?
That dude, they got to come back here.
Ooh.
Iowa State comes back here, you remember, for the return engagement.
Do you take one for the team? Does somebody take one for the team near when they come back?
Brock Cunningham.
Oh, no. The officials will be looking at that.
Hey, well, I mean, you can't let that happen. They shouldn't let it happen in real time. The Big 12 officials should have done something about it in real time, and that's still a complete joke.
Yeah, that's where you go probably soccer mom there. As the coach.
I don't want anybody getting hurt.
I don't want anybody getting hurt either.
That was a dangerous play for Dylan Mitchell that didn't even get called. And then the guy can't stare at him. And then the guy can't go throat slash after he nails a wide open three because the guy he just undercut is down there laying on the floor.
I think I do go outside the box there. where I'm going to the scoring table and throwing pencils and acting goofy.
I've seen Brock Cunningham throw his body around when it needs to happen. You know what I'm saying?
That will happen back here.
Hey, so several people weighed in on the Michael Jackson biopic that's coming. Do you like? Are you a biopic fan?
I like them.
Do you like them?
Yeah.
I find myself liking them a lot. Like, and I'm glad they're making them because, the Ray Charles, the Jamie Foxx depiction of Ray Charles.
Still the best of all.
Yeah, we mentioned Johnny Cash with Joaquin Phoenix. I love that one. I told you, I just ended up watching. I recommend it if you have Showtime or ability to get Showtime, the George and Tammy biopic, which is George Jones and Tammy Wynette. And it was helped. Part of the producer team of that was their daughter. It was really genuine. And Michael Shannon and Jessica Chastain did a hell of a job portraying those two over a long period of time. It was really well done. I like those. I'm a biopic fan. I think I will plan to see the Michael Jackson biopic. And you liked the Bohemian Rhapsody one?
I did.
I love that last scene. I mean, the reenactment of the
concert.
The concert at the
Wembley.
Wembley Stadium was unbelievable. Just brings you chills.
Yeah, that was
well
a great
they
one.
Did it. Yeah, that was a good film. Ty, are you a fan of the biopics?
I am.
Okay. I'll just say, reading that story just now, to take on the Michael Jackson biopic
do the Michael Jackson Super Bowl halftime deal will be a part of that because that was awesome.
Well, I think of the Michael Jackson biopic and I think what part of the story are you going to tell? You can't tell the whole story. It would take too long.
Yeah, you can't do Joe Jackson and the whole game.
I mean, you can't. At what point do you start and what point do you end? I mean, there's like decades and phases of the Michael Jackson story. I don't know. That's going to be interesting because the screenplay and how they piece it together will be really, really interesting. Like the George and Tammy I just watched, I mean, it was over three decades, but there are only eight episodes. And they did it as a mini biopic series. And it starts when they meet, and George Jones is already a big star, and she wants to be a star, and they become stars together, and then it goes off the rails. So it lasted like 20, 30 years, and it's maybe 20 years. I just don't know how the Michael Jackson thing's 50 years long, right? Or, 45. I mean, he was a star when he was a kid, and then he's, king of pop, and he's about to go on another tour when he dies at, 50 years old or whatever it was. I don't know. I just don't know how they're going to tell that story. That'll be interesting to me. Because what was the other one? Elton John. They did one on Elton John that I thought was really good. Did you see that one?
I have not seen the movie yet.
It's good.
I have not even seen the movie.
That one's interesting. You learn about his parents and his upbringing, and I thought that was a good one. So we'll take your thoughts on biopics. Are you fans of Michael Jackson one coming? Would you want to see it? And let us know, what are your favorite all-time biography pictures that are actually movies, but they're kind of done in true storytelling time. I'll take your thoughts on that as we get rolling here. Ty is confident. He's going 20 units on the Cowboys. Buck likes the Niners by 8. I'm leaning Niners, Buck.
In a close game. Yeah.
I kind of like Vegas and the line. The line's sitting there right at 3.5, which is what I think it's going to be. And that's kind of the game I'm looking for here.
Ty's not confident enough. I'm playing off of him. That's what it is. I'm playing off of his confidence this week, and he's not that confident when he goes.
Well, which Cowboys am I getting here? The team that is 5-0 and they don't turn the ball over, or the Cowboys who dack through 11 picks?
You're going to get the Cowboys that are still going to play a really, really good, solid football game. They're just not talented enough.
They're not.
That's all. They don't have
enough. Or they're not talented as.
They're not as talented as the 49ers are right now.
Okay. Because I would say this, and people are fluffing up I think the Niners are better at running back.
Yes.
Sorry, Christian McCaffrey's one of the top five backs in this league. I think they're better at receiver.
Are you adding the tight end in there? No. Go add him in there also.
Well,
yes.
I think they're better at tight end.
Yes.
Because I think George Kittle is elite at the position. He's right there with Travis Kelce, is the best in the league. Mm-hmm. And again, I think Cowboy fans will throw Tony Pollard and Dalton Schultz and CeeDee Lamb. They're just a little lesser. They're really good. They're not those guys. And I think the offensive line for the Niners is better than the Dallas Cowboys. Not significantly, just a little better. And defensively.
Now that they got their big tackle back, yeah, they're he made a difference.
Cowboy fans love Micah Parsons, but Nick Bosa led the league in sacks. I think across the board, you're just a little bit better than the Cowboys at every place, and they're at home, and they've had two extra days to get ready for the game. For that reason, I would lead Niners.
That's an 8 points. That's 8 right there, Ty. He just gave you 8 right there. Not 3.5, but 8.
Cowboys by 5.
Oh.
Okay, love it. Love it. Who's the key figure here? Is it Brock Purdy? But, you know.
Tony Pollard.
Ooh. Tony Pollard outshines Christian McCaffrey.
They are not getting to the outside, the perimeter on San Francisco.
If you talk to most league personnel and say, okay, who are the five best players in this league after the catch with the ball in their hand? Two of them, maybe three of them would be 49ers, right? I mean, seriously, Christian McCaffrey would be in that. Of every position, ball in their hands after the catch, most dangerous. Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and if we're talking just tight ends, I don't think there's anybody more dangerous than George Kittle after a catch. And so that's what you're – Elijah Mitchell's a really good running back too. This is a problem, and I don't know that Tony Pollard is in that conversation. Is he close to that? Sure. I don't know. I just a little better, just to your point. I think the coaching staff's just a little better. I think the players are just a little better in there at home.
Dak's giving one back. He went through a game without throwing one, so he's giving one back this week.
Maybe two.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, didn't the
I wanted to be a good game.
Well, didn't the Niners lead the league in interceptions?
Yes, they did.
Against the quarterback who's interception prone,
no,
the Bucs game.
Yeah, I think there's a double pump here.
I think we just hit on the reason you and I are both the same. They're talented at us. They're just not as talented, and maybe nobody is in this league right now. But that brings it back to what every Cowboy fan is going to say: Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy. Yeah, it all comes back to this guy.
Can you make it Brock Purdy's game?
I would say it'd be Dallas's game. But if Brock Purdy was playing in his second game and they're getting the playoffs, but this is not. This guy's had enough time now.
All right, some biopics. It says Patton and the Doors. I did like the Doors movie. That was good. Is that Oliver Stone that did that? The Jim Morrison and the Doors film?
I think so.
It says you haven't mentioned Elvis. Austin Butler. I haven't seen the Elvis movie yet. I'm going to watch that as a fan of biopics. I've seen it.
Supposedly he permanently has the Elvis accent.
Ooh, well, that'd be hard to get rid of once you have it.
And he's walking around with it?
It's like a mental
now,
block.
Which one should I see? Is it the Elvis with Tom Hanks?
That's the
Didn't
one.
They make two different ones?
No, there's two.
I could
but
be wrong.
The movie version was with Tom Hanks. That's the cat that can't get rid of the Elvis lingo right there, Ty.
Yeah,
the one that played in the movie.
Well, that was that Lisa Marie was so gushing over for his performance in the movie.
He doesn't look anything like Butler. Austin Butler doesn't look anything like Elvis. So.
I know, but they made him look like it in the movie, and he plays a young Elvis, right? I gotta go see it though. All right, appreciate those. We'll come back. When we do, we're talking to Mac Engel, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. His thoughts on this Cowboys matchup. What are his views of this game? Also, the TCU Horned Frogs making the controversial decision in some people's minds to hire Kendall Briles to be their offensive coordinator. We'll weigh in with Mac coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, B&E on this Thursday morning, busy, and some of our top topics obviously include the Cowboys and their big showdown with the Niners on Sunday afternoon to wrap up divisional playoff weekend. Talked about the nostalgia yesterday of the all-time great matchups between these two NFC powers. Every day, 80s, 90s, now here in the early 2000s. They lost last year, the Cowboys did, to the Niners in Arlington. Can they return the favor? This time around, we'll talk. We've been talking about it all morning. Also, TCU, part of our college football conversation, coming off that national championship loss to Georgia, having to replace Garrett Riley as their offensive coordinator, and have made it official. They have hired Kendall Briles to be their new OC under Sonny Dykes. With that in mind, let's go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk to a man in the know on both of these topics and conversations. He is a columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Author of four books and a busy guy all around, but a good guy. Mac Engel joins us. Mac, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you very much for having me. How is traffic in the greater Austin area these days? Brisk? Quick?
Terrible.
No
terrible.
Terrible.
Days?
Always terrible.
Always terrible.
Yes.
Good. I just want to make sure we got that cleared up.
Yeah, nothing.
There's no stretch of road any worse in the world than I-35. In Austin. I just want you guys to know that.
As a very well-traveled person, I would, you know, you are one, and I would agree with you 100%. Now that they got Waco fixed, right? Now that they got Waco done, it's because that was pretty rough for a while. But, yeah, Austin, every day of the week,
yeah, the Waco
of the
area only took 30 years, so now we've still got some time here.
A quick 30-year job.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the contractor said it was only going to take 35. Oh, like 35 years, but they got it done in time and they got ahead of time. So good for them.
Ahead of schedule,
good for them.
On
they all get paid by the hour.
Like
so.
Most things, yeah. Ahead of schedule on budget.
Right.
Hey, Mac Engel is with us. Mac, your column this morning, interesting, and I saw a tweet in the headline, Sonny Dykes hiring Kendall Briles is the right decision for TCU. And in a tweet you said, I spent a lot of time covering Art Briles and his exit at Baylor, and I'd hire Kendall Briles in a snap. For our audience who disagrees with that, what's your rationale and what say you?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, it's a long, complicated answer. And, you know, when that went down back in 2015, when the Texas Monthly story about Sam Ukwuachukwu hit, you know, I was probably his loudest, Art Briles' loudest critic. And in fairness, I mean, he deserves a lot of criticism for how he ran his team. But then the narrative really kind of got out of control. And Baylor did a very poor job at handling the narrative. Baylor did a bad job at a lot of things. And Art Briles and that staff, if I had been the president of Baylor University, I would have fired all of them because doing those situations bothered me was that Baylor, after they fired him, then went on some calculated PR thing to basically make a university-wide issue specific to the football program. And I thought that was a little – one, it was unnecessary. And then, two, I didn't think it was right. There was no reason to do it. And it wasn't Baylor – everybody at Baylor. It was a few members of the board who were in damage control, and I don't think they really knew – I think they panicked. And I fully realized a lot of the things that were said and were alleged at Baylor were horrible. And again, if I'm Baylor and if I'm in damage control, yeah, then I fire the head coach and I make the staff get out of town too. But if you look at it, and again, I would not say what I said about Kendall Briles, about Art Briles, about that situation. I would not say the things that I said unless I did the number of interviews that I did, and I, with the exception of three or four people, no one spent as much time on this than I did. And I think a lot of people were far too casual in really damning accusations and rhetoric and words about Art Briles without really looking at all of it. I mean, they were calling the guy, you know, coach rape. You can call a guy a terrible coach. You can say he's a terrible offensive coordinator. You could say, well, he's a bad person and a bad father, bad this. That's fine. But, man, to say somebody sits there and condones sexual assault, that really bothered me. And, you know, but ultimately, Art is the guy who cannot never get a job again, and he won't. He'll never get a job again. I think he's accepted that. Last I heard, he lives down in Horseshoe Bay and, you know, he's very much retired. But his son has gone on to be an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's coach at Florida Atlantic, Houston, Arkansas, Florida State. Now he's going to TCU. He's a Texas guy. He's always wanted to be back in Texas. And when Garrett Riley left, that created an opportunity for Sonny Dykes. And Sonny has known Art. He's known Kendall. He worked with Art on Mike Leach's staff back in the first part of the 21st century at Texas Tech. And clearly, he's comfortable with the situation. I know they vetted Kendall Briles, TCU did. I know they interviewed him. I know they asked him about that comment that he made that went viral about show him a good time. And, you know, Baylor's got a lot of white girls. If you like white girls, and those are tone-deaf idiot comments. And they're also completely consistent with what had been football culture for a long, long, long time. And I would bet good money it's going on even now. Even if they're not said, it's implied. And I'm not saying it's right, but I am saying that's what goes on. So I think when I said TCU, you know, and that headline is, I think TCU made the right decision. I don't know if it's going to work. And you just never know. Do you have players? Is there, you know, do people get along and all that? But I do think if you look at Kendall's track record since he left Baylor, nothing's happened. I mean, his offense has done all right, and he's been your standard offensive coordinator. So I think if that's what TC was looking for and that's what Sonny wanted and a guy he knew and trusts, he got the right guy.
You know, I would say this, Mac. The sins of the father, you know, are they any different for the, are they different for the son? And I still to this day don't think Art Briles should get a job. I don't know about Kendall Briles. I may not know enough about the situation. As you say, you know an awful lot about it. But how long were they going to –
Let me ask you this. No, go ahead.
How long were they going to hold on to this thing with Kendall Briles forever? Like, he should never, ever be able to get employment. That I couldn't understand. I mean, some people can be rehabilitated. Maybe there's some that don't. Maybe some say the wrong things. You know, we all make mistakes. And, you know, nobody's perfect. There's only one perfect person or one perfect entity to me. But you make mistakes. You move on. There is going to be a time that time passes. And do you just hold on to those grudges or do you forgive people? And I
you bring up a great point. You really do. And I completely understand. And I look at this purely through the ugly world of college football, which is people ultimately care just about winning and losing. That's why I was like, Texas Tech should hire Art Briles, because they will get over it. If Art went to Texas Tech or wherever,
right,
and they won, they would get over it. They do every single time. You and I both know that college athletics has been filled with characters who really, really had some stuff going on in the back of their house, but they won games. So people would deal with it, and they would justify it and rationalize damn near anything. And when it comes to your point about how long do we hold on to this, I think it just comes down to the person. And sometimes people just like, well, we just want to be mad, and then they go away, and then they go away. Well, where do they go? What if the young man's 25 and the young person's 28 years old? It doesn't just have to be a man. What if that young person, they've got the rest of their life. What are we supposed to do with them? Just give up? And I think in light of that, look, everybody from that coaching staff at Baylor went on to get a different job someplace else. And I know, having talked to a few of them, the vetting process on those guys was extensive. And you haven't heard about any of them.
Yeah, I mean, do you grow from a mistake? Do you grow, Mac, from a mistake? I mean, some people you meet as 19 or 20 – when they're 35, 40, they're still the same. And you look at them like, really? You're still the same? You're still the same person? What the hell's going on with you? What have you done? What is it that you've done? I mean, I wouldn't expect Kendall Briles, some of the things he said at 24 or 27. I mean, that's still, to me, you can say that's a man, but that's a kid still working with kids. And they will say the dumbest ass things in the world. But I don't expect that guy to be 34, 35 years old and still say the dumb things. Or do the same dumb things.
I mean, think about it. Some comedian made this point, and it's a good line about, yeah, well, you know, at one point I was 5'3". Okay, I grew up physically, and I would do the same thing now. I'm 6 feet tall now. Thank God. I made it to 6. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
But I look at, I'm 49, and I look back at some of the stuff that I said and did, oh my God, 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago. And granted, I would say, and I think listeners and you guys can relate to this, being a parent is a big, big game changer in finding empathy. It really forces empathy down your throat, and it hopefully compassion as well.
Sure.
And that's the part of this that I think you're inescapably universally right, that everybody should look at and say, wait a minute, how long are we supposed to punish anybody for? Like, what's the crime? Did you do any time, so to speak? Have you? And if you have, then it should be your turn to go back. And, I mean, it's why I'm a big fan of Michael Vick. I mean, Michael Vick really screwed up. He did hard time. He paid all of his debts, and he came back, and by all accounts, he's been fine. And I think we have to give the opportunity for people to pursue that path. And if they don't do it, well, that's on them. in my mind, if you look at what Kendall Briles has done since he left Baylor, nothing has happened. So if Sonny Dykes, who knows this guy well, wants to give him a shot and he
sure.
has the full support of his athletic director, then go ahead and do it.
Mac Engel is with us online at Twitter, at Mac Engel Prof, P-R-O-F, because in addition to his Fort Worth Star Telegram work, he's also an adjunct professor at SMU and author of four books. Mac, you've covered the Cowboys a long, long time, obviously. What's your read after the Monday night win, short week, going to San Francisco against a very good and hot 49ers team? What's your feel on this game?
I think it's going to be pretty close, and the wild card to me is, can the Cowboys be the first team to make Brock Purdy look like a rookie? No one's really done it. I mean, Seattle kind of did it in the first half of the wild card game, but then Brock Purdy's good. I mean, he's done things in that offense that a guy should do, that a veteran should do, and you have to give him credit. He's the third string quarterback. There's a couple things that Dallas has going for him that I like. One, they have Leighton Vander Esch back. And Leighton Vander Esch has made a huge difference for that defense. Beating Tampa Bay, you have to give them credit. The Cowboys hadn't won a road playoff game in 30 years. Tampa Bay is not that good. They're just not. Tom Brady's not the same guy. He's not. But Dallas went out and did what they were supposed to do. They beat them badly. Dak Prescott looked great. Question I have is, can the Cowboys – 49ers are a bad matchup for them. And the 49ers are a bad matchup for a lot of teams because – their front four, they can get pressure without blitzing, and not many teams can do that. And when you watch the wild card playoff loss to the 49ers that Dallas had last year, that was the problem. They couldn't block them. Even when after Joey Bosa went out at halftime with an injury, they couldn't block him. And Deebo Samuel was a problem. They didn't even have Christian McCaffrey. I think Dallas, to win this game, is going to have to play just about perfect, and Micah Parsons is going to have to be great. Now, Micah Parsons is great. God, he was good on Monday night. But if they're going to double him, which they will, somebody else is going to have to get home. They're going to have to make some plays on the back end. Trayvon Diggs is going to have to tackle. I don't know if you guys watch this. Trayvon Diggs is a really good cover corner, but teams deliberately go at his side because he does not want to tackle. And eventually he's going to have to get physical. Otherwise, they're just going to keep hammering him. And Christian McCaffrey has been perfect for that team. So I'm going to guess it's going to be a really close game. And if Dallas is going to win, Brock Purdy's going to have to screw up. And Dak Prescott's going to have to outplay him. Guys, I've covered this team for a long time. Cowboys have not been to an NFC title game since 1996. They're on the road. The weather looks like it's going to be decent. But I have a horrible feeling the Cowboys are going to cowboy and the 49ers are going to win at the end.
Yeah, I feel.
Wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, everybody wants to. I want to see a really, really good game, but I just don't know if the Cowboys' offensive line would. I mean, guys are going out. They're switching positions again, and it's late in the season. Now, this is not, in week number six where you lose a tackle or you've got to replace a guy, move him from guard out there to tackle. This is late in the season, and you've got the kind of injuries that they have on the offensive line going against this defensive line. And like you said, the pressure that they get from the four guys up front, that's the scary part. And, last week, Mac, the Cowboys found a way to get on the perimeter on Tampa Bay on those lines. I just don't think they get to the perimeter, and I don't see them running up the gut. I don't see them pulling guys and vacating spaces against the 49ers defense. How they got to the perimeter last week was fantastic. Their tight end was holding. He got called once, but he's holding like 12 times, and they just got away with it. I just don't think I don't think he can hold those guys on San Francisco. I don't think he can grab, Dalton Schultz can't even grab the guys and actually hold them to keep them out now. They just bring it on now.
No, and the problem with, they've got – Dallas has pass-catching tight ends. They don't have physical blocking tight ends. And Tyler Smith – say whatever you want about Tyler Smith. They'll move – Jason Peters is out, so they're going to move Tyler Smith back to the left tackle spot where he has done a great job all year. The question is, can Tyron Smith – now, Tyron Smith played better than he has played since he's come back from his injury. And if he can play better, if he can play as well as he did against Tampa, against San Francisco, then that helps a lot. But your observation about that line is right. I mean, they've juggled guys. the center and guard spot have been problems. The fact that they're going to have to move Jason Peters out and Tyler Smith back from guard to tackle means that the guard who had been playing like as an emergency H-back and fullback, well, he's back at the fullback spot. You're right. You're moving guys around at an important spot, not in week five, but in the NFC divisional round. And that line is shaky. They're not – you don't want to say they're bad, but they've got some concerns. And you're right. That's a dead-on observation about them getting outside because they did it, and you didn't think they were going to be able to do it, and now they're going against maybe the best front, probably the best front defensively left in playoffs. So that's going to be an issue. They might be able to do it. I mean, I'm not betting against Tyler Smith. To me, the concern is more Tyron Smith and whether or not he can keep trending up. These are his last game with the Cowboys. They're going to cut him in the offseason. So he's trying to get a contract someplace else. He needs to play well. And if he plays like he did and shows the improvement like he did against Tampa Bay, they might be okay there. Maybe.
Hey, Mac, appreciate it. Two big stories, two big conversations. We appreciate the insight. Yeah, Nick Bosa will be lined up on Tyron Smith quite a lot in this game, the leading sacker in the National Football League. That'll be a challenge. Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Mac, thank you so much, man.
Okay, thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Mac Engel, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Good stuff there. We'll come back. It'll be a short segment. We'll wrap it up and get you ready for Light the Tower coming next. All right, there it is. That's going to do it for us. Appreciate Mac Engel. Good stuff today. Buck ons and buck offs, Buck. And enjoy 70 degrees and sunny.
Yeah, it's going to be like this today. We're starting to have cooler weather coming tomorrow and the weekend.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to divisional weekend. We'll have more on that tomorrow. Obviously, more on the Longhorns' pursuit of A.D. Mitchell. Junior weekend, maybe a wide receivers coach. All that will be coming down.
Yeah, we get a little bit of what Mac said. Talk a little bit about that tomorrow, too.
For sure. We'll react some of that Mac Engel conversation with the Kendall Briles to TCU conversation, which was not everybody agreed with Mac Engel, and that's what a good columnist does. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Thanks for the buck ons and buck offs. Good stuff today, TY. And coming next, Craig Way is back from Ames, back from Lubbock, all of his trips and travails. He and Jeff are coming next on Light the Tower. Chad and Zay through the midday. Also, Harge and Rod this afternoon. Hope Harge is feeling better with Ball Don't Lie. Everybody have a great Thursday. If you missed any part of the show, it's podcast at hornfm.com.